Well, good morning again to you all. I'm going to start today's message with a personal story that happened to me back when I was in about 10th or 11th grade. All week I was trying to remember which year it was. I know it was one of those two, but couldn't quite remember because that was, you know, several years ago now. Hard to admit, but that's true. I had a good friend back in high school named Mike Ferwerda. We were really good friends for many years. We were in youth group together. We were in a band together. We did the youth group band together. He played guitar. I played bass. We both sang. The other day I just listened to one of our old songs that we recorded, and it was good. But he was a good friend with me all throughout high school and then beyond. We were actually both were groomsmen in each other's weddings, and we still hang out every year. He lives in Platteville, I live up in Green Bay, and we still find time to get together. But there is one particular moment, every time I think of that friendship, I think of a moment that happened to both of us. So we hung out at each other's houses a lot, good high school students always staying up late and having sleepovers, playing video games, eating food, just all sorts of stuff. But we often did like Bible studies together, and we would talk about different things that were going on in our youth group and how God was faithful. And there's one particular night I remember sitting in one of my living rooms at my house, kind of a weird setup, but it was like in the front. Family room, and we were just sitting down on the couch and talking about, God showed up this way in my life. And he would share a story, and he would say, God showed up this way in my life. And can you believe that God did this? And this is what's going on in our youth group, and this is what's going on in our school. And it was just this beautiful time. And I don't remember when we started this conversation. Could have been, 10 o'clock at night, could have been 3 o'clock in the morning. We stayed up very late in those days. I have no idea when this moment exactly started, but there is this sensation that we both had at the same time that we just needed to start praying. And we were sharing all these things about glorifying God, and it just felt like God was present in a very profound way. That's the only way I can describe it. It was like the space between earth and heaven was very thin in that moment. It's not that God is ever more present in other moments than he is in different ones, but in that moment, it was just very visceral to us that God was present in our conversation, and we both just felt this overwhelming urge that we needed to pray. And so we just prayed and prayed and prayed, and the next thing we knew, the sun was up, and it didn't feel like any time had passed. It's kind of like a Narnia experience, if you are familiar with the C.S. Lewis novels. I don't know if it was 8 hours, I don't know if it was 1 hour, but it was just this moment that I still look back on, even as an adult, where I'm like, in moments where God feels distant, or I feel like he's not hearing me, or I'm wondering, where is God in all of this? It's a moment in my life that I keep looking back to and say, God showed up. And I know he has shown up in the past, and maybe he will show up. It's just this moment that both Mike and I shared together, where we felt God's power in a way that we hadn't felt before, and honestly, in a way I haven't felt since. But I think I share that story with you because when we think of the divine presence, when God shows up, I think the normal thought of that in our general culture is that that's something to like be fearful of or to be scared over. I don't know if you've ever heard your parents growing up saying, watch your behavior, God's watching you. Ever hear that? I think it might even be a spillover of how we deal with Santa Claus, like he's making a list and checking it twice and he's going to find out if you're naughty or nice. We kind of think of God in that particular way. That the divine presence is something that reminds us that we're not worthy, that we're not in the same par as God. God is greater than us. And when he shows up, we have to face that. We're overwhelmingly aware of our sin, that we fall short of him. In other words, we just have this sense that when God shows up, it probably should be scary. I actually was even watching an old Disney movie. Anyone familiar with Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Okay, so they made like two sequels after that. There was Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, which I had never seen until like a couple weeks ago with my kids because they love these movies now. But the one I grew up with that was like brand new when I was a kid was Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves. I don't know if you've ever seen that one, but it's essentially the same idea of the parents get shrunk. And the kids are teenagers, and when the parents aren't there, they do what kids do when they're unsupervised. They throw a party in the house, and they make a mess of things. And in that movie, a teenage daughter throws a party with her friends, and her parents have said no sleepovers, and then the girls that were at the party invited boys to come over, and it was this big thing, right? Well, in this movie, the parents are obviously seeing everything because they're in the house. They're just small. But they figure out a way to turn a stereo in their house into a microphone so that they can make the kids aware that they're small and need to be, you know, made back to real size again. So when they finally get to this microphone, it's the dad of the teenage daughter that has the boys over. And the kids obviously immediately recognize that this is their dad's voice, but the teenage boys don't know that. So he starts to talk, and no one can see where this person is in the room, and the teenage boy asks, "Who are you?" And he says, "This is the voice of God." And immediately that brings the fear of God into all these teenage boys, and they run out of the house. And I think that's generally what I'm talking about. When God shows up, you're kind of like, oh no, type of thought. That's what we think we're supposed to experience. In fact, if you asked anyone in your family, like, what would happen if God showed up right when in the middle of it? They'd be, oh my gosh, I don't know. Like, I'd be so scared. It's even the reaction that we see in the very beginning. In the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve, when they, after they sin and God is walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, their first thought is, run, hide, cover yourself up. God walking and being near us is scary. But my reality in my experience that I just shared with you is, yeah, it's not like just having any old friend over. There is something about the divineness of God that brings you to your knees in worship. Like, you're encountered with God, and you're compelled to just be in awe and wonder. But that same God that brings us to our knees, that humbles us, is also the same God that lifts us up. He is a God that not only is holy, He is a God who reassures us. He redeems us. He restores us. He heals us. He's the same God that came to this earth as the Christ child, humbled Himself to be human, to walk amongst us, and to show us what God was like. I know we just came out of that season of celebrating the incarnation, but I wonder if the reason why God came in the form of a baby is so that this intimidating God, whose holy presence should make us shake in our boots, came in this package that we could understand, that we could identify with, that wasn't scary, that could be this something that we could hold in our arms and be like, wow, how precious is this? And then grows up into a man that shows us what God is like, because He is God, but we can walk with Him, and we can talk with Him, and we can eat with Him, and He shares life with us. That's the same God. And it's kind of this profound thing that we need to grasp with. Yes, God is holy, but yes, He's also our friend. He also builds us up. He redeems. He restores. He takes us alongside. He listens to us. He comes near us in humble ways, not just in holy, I am God, fear me type of ways. And we're also now that we've moved into this new season, we're done celebrating in the church here the Christ child coming to us in the incarnation. We're now in the season called Epiphany, which lasts for several weeks. And the question in this season is not, is God going to show up? And it's not even celebrating to say, like, God has shown up. It's just the statement, God has shown up, with the question, have you noticed? So everything that we're talking about today is just reaffirming God has shown up. Our question that we need to ponder today is, have we noticed? Have we noticed? And I think that's what this psalm is all about. This is a psalm of David where he recognizes that God has shown up in his life. And again, this is before the Christ child. So we're not talking about God has shown up in the incarnation when we're looking at David. David is simply saying God has shown up and I'm going to recognize it in the form of answered prayer. David is celebrating the fact in this psalm that he prayed. He had a request of God. He spoke to God. And he recognized that God heard him. I mean, think about the power of that for a moment. David, when we look at David, we might have the sense of awe and wonder. He was one of the greatest kings of Israel. Like, of course, God's going to listen to a king. Right? But in the grand scheme of things, David is a man. He's just a human like every one of us. There's nothing special about David compared to who we are. Just because he had a title and a role doesn't mean he's more significant in the grand scheme of the universe than any of you sitting in this room or me. And so he has a request in his heart that he lifts up to the heavens to see if anyone would hear. And he recognized that God heard him and is giving thanks. That's what this is about. He recognized that God has shown up. God has shown up. And what's interesting about David in this passage is as you hear this, and we're going to reread this passage together, but as you reread it, you can also hear that at the same time that David is offering thanks to God, that God heard me when I called and he answered, he also has this disposition of being vulnerable. It still seems like his heart is longing for something. He's still asking God for more. But even in the midst of asking God for more, he's giving that focus to say, God, I'm recognizing where you have shown up already, and I'm trusting you with more. But there's three major sections of this text. And I invite you to open up to Psalm 138 again, if you wish. Otherwise, I'm happy to read it aloud for you to hear. And I invite you to do either one. Sometimes it's helpful to read and follow along, and sometimes it's just helpful to close your eyes and hear the word again and see how it hits you in that way. But the first three verses are really the section of thanks and praise. David says, I gave you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart, all that I am. And before the gods, I sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. You have exalted your name and your word above everything. So in this section, the things that pop out here are that God is holy. That he is someone that David is bowing down and thanking above all of these other gods. And that might seem like a really weird phrase because we're saying, well, God is one. He's the only God. But in the day of David, where the kingdom of Israel was, there were many different religions, many different people groups that were worshiping other gods. And so David and in his culture, in his context, would have been familiar with other gods other than God Almighty. And yet he reached out to the God Almighty before any of these other gods, and his requests, his prayers were heard and answered. So he's like, before all of these, you are exalted above all of these other gods that the people around us are worshiping, and you are the God that hears. You are the God that answers. You are the God that hears me. And I thank you and praise you for that. You are a God to be exalted. And even says that you have exalted your name and your word above everything by his own actions. God is glorifying himself by answering prayers. This next section is all about David not just giving thanks to God, but specifically showing that he matters to God. In verse 3, on the day I call, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for you have heard the words of your for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. And I think this is pretty profound that David is showing that and stating that people around him will know of God because of how God was faithful to him. And this is really impactful moment to show how personal God is. The day I called, the day David, me, took initiative, I did the calling, God answered. I think a lot of times when we look at this theologically, we look at God taking the initiation and saying, I'm reaching out to you and you're going to respond to me. But this passage and how David is describing it shows that it's not just a one-way street, that God also listens to us. The concerns of David's heart were known to God. When David shared them, God had his ear to him. That's pretty profound to think that the God of the universe would listen to one person. And then the last section here. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. But the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies, and you stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. That phrase, do not forsake the work of your hands, is part of that vulnerability I was talking about before, that David is thankful and yet he's still needy. He's still saying, God, don't forget about me. Don't leave me to the circumstances around me. And yet he says that even after acknowledging your love, O Lord, is steadfast and will endure forever, but please don't leave me. Do you hear that? Have you ever had a prayer like that? Like, God, I know you're there, but please be there. That's what's going on in David's heart in this particular way. He has enemies around him. I've never been in a circumstance like David, but if you know anything about his story, he spent a good chunk of his life running away from a king that was his friend that wanted to kill him. And so he had to go into hiding and live in a cave and run away from soldiers that were trying to take his life. These are the kind of circumstances where David is saying, God, I called and you answered. Please don't forsake me now. Preserve my life. Please, God, can you please be there? And he's recognizing that God is seeing the plights and hearing the words of the lowly. It's not just kings. That's what we were talking about earlier. It's not just kings that God listens to. It's not just people with authority over other human beings. God hears even the meekest and the weakest among us. And that's what I titled this lesson about. The fact that you, yes you, sitting right where you are, I'm talking to each one of you, you matter to God. Whatever requests that are on your hearts, whatever joys, whatever concerns, whatever is weighing on you, whatever you're celebrating, God sees you because you matter to God. And that's a pretty profound thing to think about. There are 7.9 billion people that live on this earth right now. And out of all of them, God is listening to you. What? Really? Who am I? That the creator of the universe would care about the fact that I have this sickness and God, I need you. He hears me? I matter that much in the grand scheme of things, even though I just feel like a speck in the universe and all of this vastness, God, the Creator, hears me? I really want that to resonate with you. Because we don't deserve it.
But that's the reality. It was David's reality when he wrote the psalm, and it's your reality now. And it's been the reality of every human that has ever existed. And that's not saying that every human has called upon the name of the Lord to deliver prayers, but that same love and compassion and vision and ear that God gives to David, he has given to every single person that he has created and loves, because we all bear his image. So that's the part that's heartfelt and good and feels right. But there's a second half to the title of this message. I don't know if you saw that. It might be a little more inconvenient. I matter to the Almighty, and so does my neighbor. Sometimes we like that. Sometimes we don't, when our neighbors are like our enemies. People we don't like, people we don't agree with. But that same God that you matter to, your neighbor matters to God that same way. That same way. Now, it's interesting, in this passage, you don't see David really highlighting the fact that he's thanking God for answering the prayers of his neighbors. In fact, he's looking at the reality of his enemies pursuing him and saying, God, don't forsake me. It's not really, he's not giving a lot of attention to like, and listen to my enemies too and answer their prayers. He's not doing that. But we don't follow David as our God. David isn't God. If we're looking at what it means to understand and see what it means for our neighbors to matter to God just as much as we matter to God, would be to look at an example of Christ. Christ, when he was pursued, where people wanted to steal his life, when he was surrounded by people coming to arrest him and to take him to be hung on a cross, his followers responded with some violence, including Peter, who cut off a soldier's ear. but Christ's response was to heal and to allow himself to be arrested and to be crucified for our sake. I think there's something powerful about looking at the example of this Almighty God who humbled himself not only to be a human, but humbled himself to allow his life to be stolen from him for our sake. In that moment, I think it very much was a reflection of, I matter, as Jesus Christ speaking, I matter to God. But so does David. So does Zach. So do all of you. That's what Jesus' actions were about. He understood that he mattered to God. But he also understood that his enemies, his neighbors, his mother, his friends, they all mattered to God. And that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, but we can't have one without the other. There is something beautiful and wonderful, and it doesn't make sense about how much God listens to us and loves us and cares for us and sees us. But we don't have that without also recognizing that God loves the other 7.9 billion people too. And you matter. In the grand scheme of things, you matter more than you ought to, but you don't matter more than the other person next to you. Even if you don't like them. Even if you don't agree with them. Even if they don't see eye to eye with you. But in all of that, our response should be the same. To give thanks. To give thanks. That God has shown up and sees what is on our heart. But to also give thanks that he sees the people that we live with. That he sees all the people in the planet. That he cares and intimately knows and cares for each person. We should celebrate that and honor that and learn to be more like God. When we respond with this disposition towards our neighbor, where we're like, I don't know, or I'm suspicious, or I don't know if I can love you, or how much I can be vulnerable with you, or how much love I can extend to you, or how much money I could give to you if you're going to use it responsibly, or, you know, any of these things, our response should be, God, teach me to be more like you. Teach me to cherish that I matter. to you. But help me to also cherish others the way that you cherish them. I'm going to invite you all in this moment into a time of responding to this message. And as we do that, I invite you all to close your eyes. And I'm going to give you some space to offer the requests, the joys, and concerns of your heart to the Almighty. What are those things that you are grateful to God for? Where has God shown up in your life? Where have you seen God show up? I invite you to offer thanks to God for those things. The next thing I invite you to think in your mind about to offer to God is simply to look at the fact that God's purposes happen in you and through you and around you. You're not just this active witness of God doing cool things. Sometimes you get to partner with God in that. So let's think about those things. Where have you seen God shown up? Where has God shown up around you? And how has God used you as a partner? Where have you seen God's goodness happen in your life? And how have you gotten to partner with Him in that? I invite you to offer thanks to God for those things. Where have you seen God show up in our church, in our community, with each other? I invite you to give thanks to God for those things as well. Now, all of those responses up until this point have been about how I matter to God and the ways that God has shown up for me. I have two more responses of prayer for us to engage with together this morning. And they're all going to be focused on our neighbor. So I invite you to close your eyes one more time as we offer thanks to God for these things. Where has God shown up in the lives of your neighbors? The people around you. It could be your family or your friends. It could be people you don't like. It could be your coworkers. Where has God shown up in their lives? I invite you to offer thanks for those things. And if you can't think of any, I invite you to ask God for renewed vision to see how God is showing up in the lives of others. Ask God this week to help you see how he is showing up in the lives of people around you. And this last one might be the most difficult of all. I know it is for me. Think of where you've seen God's plan, His purposes, being accomplished through someone that isn't you. Maybe someone that doesn't look like you. Maybe someone that doesn't think like you. Maybe someone that you don't like. Where has God been at work in the lives of those people, and how has God used them? Offer thanks to God for those things. I invite you now to open your eyes. Perhaps that was not enough time, perhaps that was too much. But I encourage you to think about those things throughout this week, recognizing how you matter to God and how your joys and your concerns are heard. But also to focus on what does it mean that my neighbor matters to God in the same way that I matter to God. I encourage all of you to know that right now what happened in this room, God has heard you. He has answered prayers. He has shown up. Maybe not in the way we expected or like, but He hears you. What happened right now in this moment is worthy of writing a psalm about, like David did. God is present. He is here. We might still be wanting, and we might still say, God, continue to show up, like, please, please, please. But He has shown up. He has heard you because you matter to God, and He listens. He is hearing all of your thoughts. He is hearing all of your questions. He is hearing all of your joys, and He is hearing all of your concerns. And that's not something to be fearful of. God is here, and it brings you to your knees and how humbling His presence is. But it's also something to cherish, that builds you up, that heals and restores you. Amen.